If You Were Made for Me by Etymology Playground, read by Rhea314. Fandom The Untamed. Pairing Lanjan Wei Ying. Chapter 1. Wei Wuxian spoke slowly. Thank you for keeping me company today. Thank you for telling me the news about my Shijie's marriage, too. But let the self judge the right and the wrong. Let others decide to praise or to blame. Let gains and losses remain uncommented on. I, too, know what I should and shouldn't do. I believe that I'll be able to control it as well. As if he'd anticipated such an attitude a long time ago, Luanji nodded slightly and closed his eyes. And that marked their farewell. Or it should have done. But when Luanji turns to leave, Wen Yuan exclaims in disappointment and grabs at Wei Wuxian's sleeve.
Rish Guge is leaving?
He asks, his little boy voice already thick with threatening tears. Wei Wuxian bounces him on his hip a little and says, Yes, he has to go home and eat his own food, don't you remember? And then he pauses and thinks and says, Who are you calling Rich Guge, eh? Wen Yuan reaches to Luanji with his fat, trembling hands.
Rich Guge, stay! Stay!
Luanji looks at Wei Wuxian, clearly at a loss in the face of Wen Yuan's simple, earnest sadness. Wei Wuxian shrugs like, You want me to turn him down for you, coward? I am not invited. Luanji tells Wen Yuan pathetically. Wen Yuan turns his liquid black eyes on Wei Wuxian and begs,
Invite Rich Guge! Please, he's my new friend. There'll be lots of food tonight, so much food. Poor Guge, it'll be fine.
Poor Guge, Wei Wuxian repeats incredulously. You're really convincing me, A Yuan. Wen Yuan is completely unapologetic, just wobbles his lip. Wei Wuxian sighs and looks back at Luanji. All right, Lanjan, you heard him. You're officially invited. Even though I feel like we just ruined everything between us again. To dinner at the burial mounds. Luanji raises one eyebrow just a little bit, as if to say, Really? Wei Wuxian raises an eyebrow back, like, Yeah, really? It's Luanji's own fault for making Wen Yuan like him so much, the pushover. If you only ever tell a kid yes, he'll throw a fit when you finally say no. This has been an educational outing for everyone involved. But Luanji doesn't say no again. He turns back around to face Wei Wuxian and his terror of a ward and says, Then I would be honored to join you. Like a shithead. Wei Wuxian widens his eyes at him, but Luanji ignores him. How kind of Hong Gongjun to accept our invitation, Wei Wuxian grits out. Wen Yuan bobs his head enthusiastically. Let's go back and tell Qingdie. She'll be excited. A Yuan should tell her all about how it was his idea. She'll be proud of him, The three of them walk back to the settlement. Wen Yuan hangs around Wei Wuxian's neck, waving his little arms at Luanji, probably making faces. Of course, Wei Wuxian knows that Luanji is certainly wearing the same blank, beautiful expression he always wears, but he takes a moment to imagine Luanji making faces back at Wen Yuan, and he almost trips laughing. He's kind of irritated at Luanji for being such a weenie about telling Wen Yuan no, but at the same time, he's relieved that he hasn't left just yet. Maybe by the end of dinner they'll be friends again, and they won't have to part on such cold terms. Wei Wuxian takes the opportunity to tease Wen Yuan about abandoning him to Gu Sulan, which is even more hilarious since Luanji doesn't try to defend his own sect at all. Lanjan, wouldn't A Yuan look cute with a little lan ribbon, huh? Wei Wuxian is saying as they stroll into camp. and then he loses his train of thought as he takes in the scene. There are paper lanterns strung up the path, and the space between the shacks is festive and well-lit.
"What's all this, then?"
Wei Wuxian asks Wen Yuan.
"You aren't psychic, are you? You sent word ahead about Lan Zhan?"
"Lan Zhan, this child is a prodigy." He brandishes Wen Yuan at Lan Wangji, who looks terrified but takes him hesitantly anyway. Wei Wuxian laughs at him as Wen Yuan shrieks a giggle and throws his arms around Lan Wangji's neck.
"Wei Wuxian, you delinquent! You bullied Han Gongjun into staying?"
Wen Qing calls.
"Eh? I had nothing to do with this. It's these two fools who decided everything,"
Wei Wuxian defends himself.
"Wen Qing, is it a holiday? Have I missed something?"
"It's dinner, fool," Wen Qing tells him. "Come, sit. We've all been waiting for you."
"Oh, we..."
Wei Wuxian starts, but Lan Wangji interrupts him to say,
"Thank you for your patience, Lady Wen."
"Hmm," Wen Qing says doubtfully. "You're staying for dinner?" Lan Wangji hesitates, then nods.
"Hmm," she says again. "All right, we'll shuffle seats around. You want to sit together, right?"
"Oh, yes," Wei Wuxian says quickly. If Lan Wangji is going to have dinner with the Wens, then by gods he'll be subjected to Wei Wuxian as he does it.
"Lan Zhan, come sit next to me, all right? And Ayuan, too."
Lan Wangji looks at him tiredly, but he comes to sit next to him anyway, pulled along by Wen Yuan's enthusiasm. Which is how, half an hour later, Wei Wuxian finds himself surrounded by some of his favorite people in the world. His third family. The people who really love him, who want to protect him and be protected in turn. And also Lan Wangji, who is being an awfully good sport, all things considered. The Wen aunties think he's just the handsomest, most courteous, most admirable person ever, and they spend all evening discreetly shoving food and wine in his direction. Wei Wuxian thoughtfully drinks all the wine for him, his mood buoyed by the alcohol and the camaraderie, and the feeling of being appreciated and even, yes, buoyed a little by Lan Wangji's dour presence. If only because he's so fun to tease. At last, Wen Qing turns her sharp eyes on him.
"You aren't eating again," she accuses, over the din of uncles two and four laughing heartily.
"We ate already," Wei Wuxian admits. "Outside, so I'm not hungry. But I really did eat. Right, Lan Zhan?" Lan Wangji looks back at him from where Wen Yuan has been demanding his attention for the last several minutes. He agrees. Unfortunately, Wen Qing's dwindling concern over his diet makes room for her outrage over his spending practices.
"You already ate? And you came back with nothing?" she exclaims. "I give you my money to buy radishes, and you frittered away on a date and silly toys, and then you don't even eat our food? Wei Wuxian, you want me to break your ribs again? I'll do it."
"Eh?" Wei Wuxian says. He doesn't even know what part of her complaint to address first. It's all equally wrong. Thankfully, Lan Wangji saves him. He rises from his seat next to Wei Wuxian and bows to Wen Qing.
"Lady Wen, please accept my apology. I distracted Wei Ying in town. It is my fault he came back without radishes."
Wei Wuxian starts to protest immediately. He really could have bought radishes with Lan Wangji there. He just plumb forgot. But Lan Wangji continues.
"He didn't waste any money. I paid for everything, so please don't be angry with Wei Ying."
"Lan Zhan, sit down,"
Wei Wuxian begs, tugging on his robes. To Wen Qing, he says, "He's exaggerating. It really is my fault I didn't buy any radishes. I was going to, but then I saw Lan Zhan, and I forgot all about them. You can have your money back. Just please don't break my ribs again."
Lan Wangji shoots him a look at again,
But Wei Wuxian valiantly ignores it in favor of making a pleading face at Wen Qing. It really wasn't her fault that she had to break his ribs the first time. There was no other way to open his chest cavity enough to remove his golden core. But he can't explain that to Lan Ji, so he'll just have to wonder. Wen Qing glares at him, then at Lan Ji, then back at him. Fine, she says eventually. You two really are a matched pair. You're each as bad as the other. Wei Wuxian, give me back my money. Wei Wuxian hands her the purse with a sheepish grin, feeling oddly pleased by her analysis of Lan Ji. She gets it. Sorry, doctor, he says cheekily. He slings one arm around Lan Ji's shoulders. You know, I've been really well behaved for you. Lan Zhan has seen me at my absolute most obnoxious, and it was worse than this, right? Shockingly, Lan Ji narrows his eyes in amusement and says, in agreement. Lady Wen is being spared. Wei Wuxian grins at him, although he realizes he's just been called obnoxious. He just thinks it's really fun when Lan Ji backs him up on anything. Wen Qing rolls her eyes. Yes, thank the heavens this moron doesn't flirt with me like he flirts with you, she agrees. I think I really would kill him. Eh? I don't flirt with you at all, Wei Wuxian says defensively. And then he realizes that's what she meant, not that his flirting looked different with her. Then he realizes that he's just admitted to flirting with Lan Ji, which he hadn't realized he'd been doing at all. He turns to Lan Ji and asks, Wait, do I flirt with you? Do you think I'm flirting? Lan Ji stares at him for a long moment. Then he shrugs Wei Wuxian's hand off his shoulder and gets up and leaves. Wei Wuxian stares after him, and then he exchanges a look with Wen Yuan, whose lip is already trembling again. You're the stupidest person alive, Wen Qing tells him. Go apologize to him and stop being cruel. Am I being cruel? Wei Wuxian asks. Wen Qing throws a chopstick at his head, so he scrambles up and goes to chase after Lan Ji. His friend is a pale blue smudge in the dark, heading for the path back into the woods. Lan Zhan! Wei Wuxian calls. Lan Zhan! Lan Zhan, I'm sorry! He catches up as Lan Ji reaches the first of the lanterns illuminating the path, and he goes to grab his white sleeve. I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to offend you. I'm really stupid, you see?
Don't apologize, Lan Ji says tiredly, having halted in his stride.
He keeps his back to Wei Wuxian.
You don't even know what you did wrong.
I don't, Wei Wuxian agrees. I don't, Lan Zhan, but I'm sorry. Just don't storm off like this.
I'm not storming off,
Lan Ji says, like a liar.
I am minimizing damage.
Horseshit, Wei Wuxian exclaims. He finally ducks around Lan Ji to face him. If I leave you now, we'll both just be mad at each other again. And I don't even know why, and I can't bear that, Lan Zhan, I really can't. Lan Ji finally meets his eyes. His face is as blank as ever, but he looks miserable all the same.
Then what would you have me do, Wei Ying?
He asks quietly. Just stay, Wei Wuxian says. Just stay. You don't have to tell me what I did wrong, and you don't even have to forgive me. But don't leave while you're still mad at me. He swallows and admits, I don't know when I'll see you again, and I can't have you remembering me and thinking, ah, fuck that guy anyway.
Wei Ying,
Lan Ji says, stricken. I'm not trying to guilt you, Wei Wuxian insists. I'm just being practical. When this is all over, I want you to think well of me, Hong Wenjun.
Lan Zhan,
Lan Ji corrects him, still staring. Lanzhan, Wei Wuxian allows. They watch each other in the warm dim light of the lantern, just breathing. Lanzhan looks like a spirit, like this, ethereally handsome, his strange eyes catching the light like cracked gemstones. At last Lanzhan slides his gaze to the side, and the spell is broken. "Listen," he says. So Wei Wuxian does, alert at once. But he can't hear anything unusual, just ordinary nighttime sounds. The wind in the trees, night jars penting and ticking above them, frogs belching, 1,000 cicadas in the dark. He looks at Lanzhan with a frown, wondering if he's missing something.
"I don't hear anything."
"Frogs," Lanzhan says.
"Insects. Birds. This mountain was dead."
"Oh," Wei Wuxian says, then, "Oh," again as it sinks in. Lanzhan looks at him.
"It isn't doomed," he says quietly. "All of this, it isn't doomed."
Wei Wuxian wants, abruptly, to kiss him. But given Lanzhan's reaction to his comment about flirting earlier, he thinks it's best to rein in that particular impulse. So he settles for grabbing Lanzhan's hand and squeezing it, hard, unable to put his gratitude into words. Lanzhan grips his hand and meets his gaze, and Wei Wuxian feels himself wavering in his decision not to try to kiss him. "Stay," he says again, instead of leaning in.
"All right," Lanzhan agrees. "I'll stay."
He holds Wei Wuxian's gaze for a long breath. Then they both look away. Wei Wuxian releases his hand, and they walk back to dinner in silence. Wei Wuxian would love to get absolutely smashed, because he always loves getting absolutely smashed. But he feels embarrassed drinking so much with Lanzhan next to him, sober as he is, especially with their delicate truce hanging in the air between them. So instead of getting smashed, Wei Wuxian just gets respectfully tipsy, which he thinks is probably okay, after all. He's generally a pretty amicable drunk. And, as they agreed before, Lanzhan has certainly seen him act worse than this. Like this, he's just affectionate and scatterbrained, and inclined to lean against Lanzhan's warm and solid shoulder, and absently chatter at Wen Ning about all the stuff he'd missed while he was sealed inside himself. "And, you know, Wen Ning, you remember my shidi Jiang Cheng, right? Well, Lanzhan has just told me that our shijie is getting married." "Married?" he finishes, gesturing disdainfully with a pair of chopsticks he picked up at some point for the express purpose of gesturing with them. "To that peacock, Jin Zexuan, blah!" "Oh," Wen Ning says, bobbing his head sympathetically. Wei Wuxian knows he doesn't really care particularly, but he's on a roll, so he continues. "Now, Jin Zexuan isn't as bad as we thought he was," he admits. "He is not the worst, but he's not the best either. Ah, my Shijie deserves the very best. She deserves... He grimaces in thought. How did that list of most eligible young masters go? He was still number 4, right? And Jin Zexuan, was number 3. "Oh, it must be you and your brother, right, Hong Gunjun?" Wei Wuxian checks, twisting around to hang off Lanzhan's shoulders, half in his lap to face him. He watches Lanzhan watch him, the way his eyes move as he works to catch up to Wei Wuxian's train of thought. "Eligible young masters 1 and 2, Wei Wuxian clarifies for him. "That must be Hong Gunjun and Zhe Jun, right?" Lanzhan just kind of looks at him, as if he doesn't want to dignify that with a response. "All I'm saying is that Shijie deserves the best, and everyone agrees you're the best, right, Lanzhan? She should marry you instead," Wei Wuxian decides. But as he says it, some wriggly part of his heart rejects it at once. On paper, they're perfect, but he feels gross even having said it. He laughs immediately to cover up his discomfort. Just kidding, just kidding.
Not the best,
Laowanqi says, after he's done staring blankly at Wei Wuxian.
Not the best,
he says again.
You have it reversed. My brother is number one, I hear.
Wei Wuxian frowns. That doesn't seem right, he mumbles. Zhou Jun is pretty great, but who in their right mind would rank him over Laowanqi? Laowanqi says. Wei Wuxian stares up at him for a beat, and then he pulls himself back up out of his lap and claps his hands together. Wen Ning startles a little.
Yeah, well, that's fine in any case. Shi Jie could marry your brother and we would be in-laws,
he decides. That's a little better, but it still doesn't feel right.
Whatever, whatever, whatever. Wen Ning, that's all the gossip I have. You're all caught up.
Thank you, Master Wei, Wen Ning says. Ah, he's so cute, Wei Wuxian's fierce corpse friend. All at once, Wei Wuxian feels overcome with affection. For Wen Ning, who lets himself be bullied. For Wen Qing, who bullies him. For Laowanqi, who lets him hang off his shoulders. Wei Wuxian springs up from his seat at the table and dashes around to clasp Wen Ning's head in his hands from above, presses a big goofy kiss to his hair before he can react. Then he turns to Wen Qing, who brandishes chopsticks at him threateningly, so he kisses his fingers and pats them gently on her cheek. At last he turns to his seat beside Laowanqi and grabs him by the front of his robes. Laowanqi raises his eyebrows, but he doesn't pull away, so Wei Wuxian leans in and kisses him too, right on one perfect cheekbone. Then he realizes what he's done, and he slides his face down to hide himself in the warm crook of Laowanqi's neck.
Please don't kill me, you two,
he whines. And then he adds just for good measure,
I'm drunk, drunk, drunk.
He grips Laowanqi's robes tighter. He smells good, clean and cool. Wei Wuxian nuzzles closer and wails into the silk.
I love my friends.
A hand comes up to pat at his back, so awkward and shy that Wei Wuxian isn't sure if it belongs to Wen Ning or Laowanqi. He hums appreciatively.
Ah, you're not that drunk, Wen Qing says, the traitor. Go sleep it off before I kick your ass.
Second Master Lan, he's your job now. Make sure he gets to bed. Laowanqi agrees. And then Wei Wuxian is being picked up. His world swings around for a second, and when it stabilizes, he's half-draped over Laowanqi's shoulders again, with one of Laowanqi's strong arms around his waist, and one under his knees. He whoops in surprise and tries not to barf.
Lanchan, Lanchan, Lanchan,
he gasps, clinging to Laowanqi's shoulders.
Don't spin around or anything. I'm not that drunk, but I'm not that sober either. Okay?
Laowanqi tightens his grip on his waist and says, Then he carefully begins walking back to Wei Wuxian's demon-slaughtering cave.
Good night, everybody!
Wei Wuxian calls over Laowanqi's shoulders.
Thanks for dinner!
The Wens who are still awake laugh and wave him off, except for Wen Qing, who rolls her eyes, and Wen Ning, who makes another attempt at a smile and says goodnight back. When they turn the corner out of sight, Wei Wuxian sighs in satisfaction and tucks his face back into Laowanqi's hair.
Lan Chan is so selfless, he teases. Poor Wei Ying is so drunk I can't even walk. Thank goodness I don't have to.
Of course he can walk perfectly fine, and of course Laowanqi knows it. It would take a hell of a lot more wine than this to make Wei Wuxian stumble, but it seems that both of them want to accommodate the other tonight. And Wei Wuxian is a person who likes to be spoiled, so Laowanqi is spoiling him, although it must certainly go against his sense of propriety.
Thank you, Wei Wuxian whispers into Laowangji's hair.
Laowangji says again.
As he reaches the cave, he ignites a little fire charm in the hand under Wei Wuxian's knees, so he can see in the dark. Once again, Wei Wuxian is forced to acknowledge the horrible disaster zone that is his living space. At last he takes pity on Laowangji and wriggles out of his arms to guide him along between all the piles of tools and talismans and general clutter. He's pleased, if unsurprised, to note that Laowangji picks his way along carefully, conscientious as always, unwilling to step on anything, even if it's just plain paper. Wei Wuxian smiles to himself as he reaches his bed, and then he blinks through his tipsy haze and realizes he hasn't got anywhere for Laowangji to sleep at all.
He says, dropping Laowangji's wrist awkwardly.
I can sleep on the floor. Lanzhan, you take the bed.
Such as it is.
Ridiculous, Laowangji tells him.
You need sleep.
Sure, but you're my guest, Wei Wuxian insists. Also, he doesn't sleep much these days anyways. It's not like lying quietly on the floor will be that different from lying quietly on the bed. Laowangji looks at him for a moment, almost frowning. Then he says,
Wei Ying, what do you want?
It doesn't matter what I want, Wei Wuxian dismisses him. It's what's good to do.
Wei Ying,
Laowangji says again, stepping forward. God, he's tall now. For a while, they were playing hike catch-up with each other, but then Laowangji hit a growth spurt at 18 and left Wei Wuxian in the dust.
It matters what you want. It does.
They stare tensely at each other. Wei Wuxian holds his breath, but he isn't sure why. At last he heaves a sigh and drops his forehead onto Laowangji's shoulder.
Sleep with me, then, he says, voice carefully light. I want you to sleep with me.
Laowangji tenses under him, but he doesn't pull away.
Please clarify,
he says after a brief pause, during which Wei Wuxian could actually hear his brain working to process his request.
Thought I was being pretty clear, Wei Wuxian teases him.
But then he takes pity and leans away. He wishes abruptly that it were lighter in the cave, so he could see whatever pained expression Laowangji is making right now.
No, you're fine, you're right. I'm not asking you to... You know, but I'm not really joking. I haven't been sleeping well, but maybe if I have someone next to me, I'll absorb all your sleepy energy or something.
Laowangji says.
It's just a thought, Wei Wuxian says. I've been sort of thinking about it, but I can't ask anyone here to test it with me.
Laowangji opens his mouth and inhales as if he wants to question further, but then it must occur to him that there really isn't anyone else. Wen Ning was sealed up until this afternoon, and obviously Wen Qing is a no-go because it would be inappropriate, and also she would definitely absolutely murder him. And he really doesn't have a close relationship with any of the other Wens, and... Although Laowangji can never know this, Wei Wuxian doesn't really want to ask anyone other than him, anyway. Laowangji says, again.
Indeed, Wei Wuxian says, sitting down on the ground. Anyway, you asked me what I want, and that's what I want.
Laowangji looks down at him.
Why are you on the ground?
Because you're taking the bed? Wei Wuxian says, glancing up at him. Laowangji crouches down.
Wei Ying, he says. I'll sleep with you.
Wei Wuxian watches him. Laowangji really is not the type to joke, and even less the type to offer something like this impulsively. So he doesn't bother saying, Really? Or... Are you serious? He just says,
Okay. and stands up to start peeling himself out of his outer robes. To his mild surprise, Huanji does the same. Wei Wuxian had sort of been expecting him to keep all his layers on for propriety's sake, maybe, but he strips all the way down to adjust his trousers, white, and undershirt, also white. Wei Wuxian watches, fascinated, as Huanji takes his hair down from the elaborate hairstyle he keeps it in now. He even takes the ribbon off, folds it neatly on top of his clothes. Then he looks around the cave appraisingly, as if he's analyzing it somehow. Wei Wuxian has never seen Huanji go to bed. Maybe checking in with the room at large is some part of his routine or something. Wei Wuxian watches openly until Huanji turns to him and says, as if he's reached some sort of decision,
"You sleep near the wall."
"Okay," Wei Wuxian says, curious but willing to accept it.
"Sure."
He climbs onto the bed and scoots over to lie on his back next to the wall. When Huanji lies down next to him, it's a bit of a tight fit, their arms pressing warmly together. But it's fine. Huanji sleeps like a corpse. He won't just roll off in the middle of the night. And anyway, it'd be really funny if he did. Win-win. "Night, Lanzhan," Wei Wuxian chirps, face turned to look at Huanji's pretty profile in the dark.
"Good night, Wei Ying," Huanji says quietly.
Chapter 2. Huanji awakens to Wei Wuxian trying to climb over him in the dark. To be fair to Wei Wuxian, he really is quite successful at his attempt to slip discreetly out of bed. He's strong and limber and he has good balance, so he's nowhere near disruptive as he could be. But between the straw mat shifting under his weight and his long hair falling unbound onto Huanji's face, he isn't able to escape without notice.
"Wei Ying,"
Huanji says, opening his eyes. His voice feels low and rough with sleep. Wei Wuxian freezes over him.
"Where are you going?"
Wei Wuxian laughs nervously. "I couldn't sleep," he says. "Thought I'd go for a walk. I won't be long." Huanji says. He's still sort of waking up, but he decides,
"I'll come with you."
"Oh, no, Lanzhan, you were sleeping, right? You stay here and go back to sleep," Wei Wuxian protests. Huanji shakes his head no, and puts his hand on Wei Wuxian's waist to urge him off. Wei Wuxian kind of blinks, then he slides gracefully over and off the bed, so Huanji can sit up. Huanji slides his open palm over the warm curve of Wei Wuxian's side, then releases him.
"Too skinny," he murmurs.
"You sound like Wen Qing," Wei Wuxian remarks. "She's always on my ass to eat more."
"You should eat more,"
Huanji tells him.
"Well, Lanzhan, maybe if we had more food up here, I would,"
Wei Wuxian says waspishly. He turns away to tug his boots on. Huanji watches the muscles of his back move and wants to lay his face against them. Instead, he crouches too and laces his own boots. Pulling his hair into a low bun, he ties his forehead ribbon over it. The two of them shrug into their outermost robes, but they don't bother with the middle layers or all of their belts. They don't need to be formal.
"It's too bad, anyway. Wei Wuxian looks so good in red."
They don't speak as they pick their way out of the cave, or as they pass through the ramshackle wen shacks in the clearing. The lanterns by the woods are still lit, their dim red light friendly in the dark. The night is still loud with cicadas and nightbirds, swallowing the quiet crunch of their footsteps in the leaves. Huanji is happy to just walk with Wei Wuxian beside him. Too often, recently, their conversations end in frustration, so he's content not to speak. Wei Wuxian leads him through the woods, following a trail through the ferns no wider than a deer track. He seems to know it by heart, following with ease even when the foliage overhead keeps the understory dark and obscured from the moonlight. The trail cuts a wide circumference around the Wen settlement.
Lawanji realizes it must be in place for lookouts to patrol, to make sure the area is secure. With only two cultivators present, well, three now that Wen Ning is awake, the Wens were vulnerable to attack by cultivators who could arrive from any direction, including the sky, but also just ordinary people who would come from down the mountain. Indeed, a half mile into their walk, they come across a young man in a dirty red farmer's robes, walking the path in the other direction. Luanqi sees him first, then Wei Wuxian sees him, and then he sees the two of them and startles, then waves.
"Ah, good evening, young Master Wei," he calls in an undertone. "You're a little later than usual."
"Yeah, just taking Han Kongchun on a little tour, you know?" Wei Wuxian says, obviously a little irritated by the man's clueless and friendly acknowledgement of the night-walking habit he apparently has. The man looks cautiously between him and Luanji.
"Is it safe?" he blurts, and then he stutters, "It isn't that I doubt young Master Wei's judgment, just strangers are..."
Wei Wuxian waves his concerns away. "No, no," he reassures. "You should always question my judgment. But in this particular, it's fine. He turns to Luanji and squints thoughtfully.
"My what?" Luanji wonders. "My guest? My classmate? My friend?"
In his heart, he hears Wei Wuxian's voice in Baifeng Mountain saying,
"My soulmate in this lifetime."
He meets Wei Wuxian's gaze and waits for him to decide what Luanji is to him.
"Well, he's mine," Wei Wuxian finishes, turning back to the farmer.
Luanji feels like his knees are about to give out.
"I see," the man says. "Anyway, he's safe," Wei Wuxian says.
"Don't let us keep you, Uncle Five. Safe walk. Good night."
"Right," Uncle Five says.
"Yep. Good night, young masters."
Luanji follows Wei Wuxian past him, tries not to let his hands shake. In front of him, Wei Wuxian's gait is a little bouncier, as if somehow cheered by that interaction.
Luanji wants to ask him about it. "Yours, am I?"
But if he asks, then Wei Wuxian might take it back, so he holds his tongue and aches. They finish walking the perimeter after another mile and make their way back through the shacks to Wei Wuxian's cave. When they first enter the cave the day before, Luanji noticed that it has just about the worst feng shui imaginable, the sort of combination of natural and artificial nastiness that makes Luanji's skin crawl. He had almost asked Wei Wuxian about it at the time, but he held back because he thought there was no way Wei Wuxian hadn't noticed, so it must be on purpose. But Wei Wuxian hadn't protested when Luanji placed himself on the edge of the bed closer to the center of the room, where the negative energy was stronger, and Wei Wuxian farther away where it was weaker. Luanji knows Wei Wuxian, even if he doesn't know what exactly Wei Wuxian wants from him. If Wei Wuxian knew Luanji was deliberately sacrificing his own safety and comfort on his behalf, he would throw a fit. So he must not know, somehow. That worries Luanji even more than the blood pool. At least Wei Wuxian knows the blood pool is evil. But for Wei Wuxian's normal living space to be so clearly imbalanced, how could he not realize? These are the thoughts that fill Luanji's head as he follows Wei Wuxian back to his horrible private room. And as they pull off their boots and outer robes, and as Wei Wuxian shuffles himself back across the straw bed, he's still thinking about it as he lies down next to Wei Wuxian and closes his eyes, which is why it takes a full incense time for him to open his eyes again to glare at his friend, who won't stop wriggling around and flipping from his side to his stomach to his other side to his back.
"Wei Ying," Luanji growls. "Stop moving."
"Sorry," Wei Wuxian mutters. "Just can't get comfortable."
"Maybe if you hadn't designed your space to emulate the feng shui you'd find in hell, you could sleep comfortably,"
Lawanji thinks crankily. Instead of saying that, he sighs to himself and sits up. Wei Wuxian watches him until Lawanji gestures for him to sit up too, which he does. They look at each other in the dark for a long moment. Then Lawanji reaches out and takes Wei Wuxian's wrists in his hands and pulls them around himself so that Wei Wuxian's arms are wrapped around him, and he rests one arm on Wei Wuxian's shoulder and snakes the other around his waist, and then he pulls them both back down to lie holding each other. "Hmm," Wei Wuxian says, as he shifts around a little, but it's to press closer, not pull away, so it's probably fine. Like this, his head is pillowed on Lawanji's bicep, about eye level with his chin. Lawanji closes his eyes and breathes in the scent of his hair, tells himself that the purpose of this is to surround Wei Wuxian with yang energy. Wei Wuxian curls his fingers into Lawanji's undershirt, pets his hands down the sweep of Lawanji's shoulders, reaches up to brush Lawanji's hair off his neck. Lawanji shudders and places an open hand flat against Wei Wuxian's back and says, "Be still." Wei Wuxian kind of nods silently against his throat. It's still only 3 a.m, and Lawanji is warm and content with Wei Wuxian's rabbit heart beating against his chest and under his palm. Wei Wuxian's breath coming fast against his bare throat, Wei Wuxian's fingers tangled idly in his hair. He falls asleep quickly. Lawanji wakens at 5 like he always does, feeling disoriented, a little uncomfortable, and aroused in a kind of sleepy, abstract, directionless way. As he wakes up fully, he remembers where he is and why he's warm and uncomfortable, and the arousal abruptly becomes concrete and much, much more panicked. He keeps his eyes closed and his breathing even, repeats mantras in his head until he has a little more control. He can feel Wei Wuxian's fingers moving on his back. He must be awake or dreaming. He's tracing protective sigils onto the thin fabric of Lawanji's undershirt. Lawanji clears his throat quietly and asks in an undertone, "Awake already, or awake still?" Wei Wuxian stops drawing. "Don't really know," he admits sleepily. "I slept a little, I think." Lawanji makes a worried sound in his throat, and Wei Wuxian laughs tiredly. "Turns out even wrapping myself in Hong Gong Jun can't make me sleep." Lawanji says, "Wei Ying," and starts to pull away to look at him, but Wei Wuxian catches him and pulls him closer, slides his fingers into his hair and nuzzles into his throat. Lawanji's breath catches in his chest. "Stay," Wei Wuxian mumbles. "Don't get up. If you get up, I'll have to get up. I don't want to." "We have to get up," Lawanji tells him gently. "Can't sleep forever." He reaches down to remove Wei Wuxian's hands from his back, but Wei Wuxian groans and clings tighter, twists their legs together. "Yes, I can," Wei Wuxian says mutinously. He twists his hand around to catch Lawanji's wrist, guides Lawanji's palm up to cup his own handsome jaw. Lawanji watches with intentionally detached interest until Wei Wuxian turns his face into his palm and mutters, "You want to help me rest, Lanzhan? Then just put your hand right here over my mouth and hold my nostrils closed. I won't struggle, I promise." Lawanji tears his hand away, horrified.
"Wei Ying,"
he exclaims. "I'm joking," Wei Wuxian lies.
"Don't,"
Lawanji gasps.
"Not funny."
He threads his shaking hands into Wei Wuxian's hair and brings their foreheads together, stares at Wei Wuxian's evasive eyes until he's forced to meet his gaze. He doesn't even know how to express how strongly he feels about that idea, except to breathe an impassioned, "Fuck." Wei Wuxian is startled into laughing, which isn't at all what he was going for. But laughing at Lawanji is better than asking him to kill him, so he'll take it. Never mind, Wei Wuxian says through his bitter smile. Never mind. Poor sweet Lan Zhan. I'm sorry, forget I said that. My goodness, you. I didn't even think you knew that word. Lan Wenqi frowns at him, still shocked and hurt.
Don't say such things,
he insists.
You want me to die of ki deviation at 22?
He doesn't say.
Forget it, Wei Wuxian sighs. I didn't mean it, it was a joke. I just don't want to get up right now.
Lan Wenqi says. But he lets Wei Wuxian burrow his way back into his chest, tucked close and safe in his arms. Lan Wenqi resigns himself to a late morning. He gets restless quickly in the absence of things to do, unfortunately. It's not that he's bored exactly, but he feels like he ought to be helping out somehow. He's used to waking up and immediately getting to work on something. Like, he can't do anything but think, or... Wei Wuxian sighs into his throat and sits up to look at him.
Lan Zhan, he says, I can hear you thinking.
Lan Wenqi looks at him. He's so handsome in the early light, his hair soft and messy. He can't die.
Lan Wenqi says.
Wei Wuxian lowers himself back to lie on top of his chest. Stop thinking, he orders, tucking his face against Lan Wenqi's jaw. He twists his fingers into Lan Wenqi's hair. Lan Wenqi can't stop thinking, but he can force himself to relax a little, maybe. He slides his hands up Wei Wuxian's waist to rest on his back, and Wei Wuxian hums approvingly. After a moment, though, when Lan Wenqi just keeps them there, Wei Wuxian kind of twitches pointedly and mumbles, keep going. So Lan Wenqi moves his hands again, skims his palms up over the rise of Wei Wuxian's angular shoulders and back down to the small of his back, then back up again, like petting a cat. He can feel Wei Wuxian relaxing on top of him, the way his muscles loosen under his hands. Lan Wenqi starts breathing in time with the slow loop his hands make on Wei Wuxian's back, and Wei Wuxian soon joins him, breathing slow and deep near his ear. After a while, he shifts his hips and requests,
more, his voice low and warm. I want...
He cuts himself off with a hum and presses into the side of Lan Wenqi's throat. Lan Wenqi breathes in, drags his hands obligingly down Wei Wuxian's back harder than before. He squeezes his waist, moves back up to grasp at his shoulders. Wei Wuxian huffs in surprise.
That's good, he murmurs, pressing himself closer.
Lan Wenqi shudders and rakes his hands down his back again, pushes a satisfied hum out of him. He lets his thumbs drift down to swipe against the planes of Wei Wuxian's pelvis.
Lan Zhan,
Wei Wuxian murmurs, rolling his hips into his hands.
I like that.
He pulls a little at Lan Wenqi's hair, and Lan Wenqi moans softly before he can stop himself.
Wei Ying,
he gasps.
You like that?
Wei Wuxian asks, voice gleeful.
Lan Zhan, are you?
He interrupts himself to hitch his hips closer, easing between Lan Wenqi's legs. Lan Wenqi gasps as Wei Wuxian settles on top of his erection, which he's been trying so valiantly to ignore.
Lan Zhan, you're full of surprises this morning.
Wei Wuxian purrs.
Is this okay?
Lan Wenqi moans again and grinds up into him. This time it's Wei Wuxian's turn to gasp. Lan Wenqi keeps running his hands up and down his back, feels the way his muscles bunch and pull as he moves.
Wei Ying,
he breathes.
Wei Ying.
He lets Wei Wuxian pull him around by the hair until his throat is bared, and then he feels the hot, sharp press of teeth and tongue, and he almost sobs. He drags his hands up to clutch the back of Wei Wuxian's head and neck, pull him closer, and he feels his legs fall open around Wei Wuxian's rolling hips. Wei Wuxian bites at his neck and ruts against him and laughs wetly into his skin as Laowangji turns incoherent below him. He thinks,
I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Many years ago, shortly after their mother died, his brother had asked him where all his words had gone. He had never been a talkative child, but as month after month passed and no one let him into the Ganeshan house, he had become silent, folded into himself like a paper doll. His uncle hadn't understood at all, thought he was shy now or broken, but Sichun had known, in that way he has, that there was something else happening. So he asked Laowangji where he thought all his words went. Laowangji had sat there, thinking, for a long time. He knew, of course, exactly what had happened to him. The trouble was he couldn't think how to explain it without words. At last he had taken Sichun by the hand and walked with him out of the cloud recesses down into Gusu, all the way to a vendor selling fine rainbow pinwheels. He picked up a wheel and pointed at each fin in turn, red, purple, blue, green, and so on. After each color, he pointed to his brother's heart, and then his throat, meaning, you can talk in this color. That's me talking, Sichun had guessed, and Laowangji had nodded. Then he'd pointed to each color, and then to his own heart and his own throat, and Sichun had said, that's you talking, and he had nodded again. Then he hit the pinwheel so fast that the rainbow fins turned white in their speed, and he pointed to his throat and shook his head, and Sichun had understood. He's spinning now, with Wei Wuxian above him, sucking bruising kisses into his throat. All at once, Laowangji has to stop. He gasps. And he gives Wei Wuxian a gentle pull to dislodge him. Wei Wuxian goes easily enough, rolling off his chest to brace himself on his side, watched Laowangji's face with wide dark eyes and an open mouth. They're both breathing heavily. Laowangji gasps for air.
You okay, Lanchan?
Wei Wuxian asks. Laowangji nods quickly, reaches up to grab one of Wei Wuxian's hands and squeezes it. He's still spinning too fast to speak. He has to know if Wei Wuxian means this. He cannot possibly ask. Are you sure? Wei Wuxian checks, frowning. He gently disentangles his hand and leans in to brush hair back from Laowangji's forehead. Laowangji closes his eyes and nods again, feels his heartbeat beginning to slow. A moment later, he feels the soft press of Wei Wuxian's mouth on his cheek, and he sighs and turns his face towards it. Wei Wuxian kisses him again, lightly, on the mouth at last. So beautiful, Lanzhan, he murmurs. Then, infuriatingly, I don't know what I want from you at all. Laowangji cracks an eye open at that. Really? Not at all?
Wei Ying,
he manages.
Or maybe I do, Wei Wuxian admits, flopping onto his back.
Laowangji turns onto his side to make room, and so that he can keep his hand on Wei Wuxian's slender waist.
But I know I can't have it, so it's better to pretend I don't know.
Laowangji says. It's true, he realizes. They barely have room in their lives to be friends, let alone anything else. He closes his eyes. He feels dizzy with desire and frustration and heartache. If only things were different.
I'm sorry, Wei Wuxian offers.
Laowangji moves so he can press his mouth to his temple.
Me too,
he says quietly. He starts absently drawing his fingers up and down Wei Wuxian's arm at his side. Now that he's touched him once, he doesn't want to stop. Wei Wuxian hums in approval. Maybe. Maybe even if they can't have this for good, today they can make an exception? Wei Wuxian leans in and kisses him, and he kisses back, and they end up lying there holding each other loosely, kissing softly for a long, unknown minute. A gentle, breathing together kind of kiss, where before their movements had only been desperate. As they kiss, Luanji keeps touching him, absently tracing the lines of Wei Wuxian's meridians up and down his arm, from his thumb to his shoulder, the inside of his little finger to his heart. He spreads his hand over Wei Wuxian's chest and kisses him, and listens for the familiar thrum of his golden core. Wei Wuxian freezes. Luanji freezes too. He opens his eyes and pulls away from Wei Wuxian's perfect mouth, already saying, "Wei Ying." Wei Wuxian avoids his gaze and pulls farther away, laughing nervously. You've found me out. Luanji presses his hand into his chest and lifts himself up on his other arm so that he has Wei Wuxian safe underneath him.
"Wei Ying,"
he says again. The horror he had felt at Wei Wuxian's suffocation suggestion earlier feels like the tiniest twinge of irritation compared to this. He feels like he's going to throw up.
"Wei Ying. The core-melting hand?"
Wei Wuxian confirms quietly. His body is so silent.
"Well, sort of.
He got Jiangcheng, Anshan." Luanji watches him, not understanding.
"Sect leader Jiang still cultivates," he says.
"Yeah," Wei Wuxian says. "He does." He puts his own hand over Luanji's on his chest, moves his fingers to lie right over his breastbone. Luanji can feel the knotted line of a huge scar, even through the fabric of Wei Wuxian's undershirt. He inhales sharply. Wei Wuxian shakes his head and insists,
"You can't tell him, Lanzhan. You absolutely can't tell him." "I will not,"
Luanji agrees hollowly. How could he tell Wei Wuxian no?
"How did you do this?"
"I'm not telling," Wei Wuxian says immediately. "You'll hate it. Suffice to say that it took a lot of brilliance and a lot of skill." Luanji sucks his teeth in annoyance. It would have been Wei Wuxian's idea, and then someone helped him. Wen Qing.
"Take mine,"
he demands, grasping Wei Wuxian's hand. He pulls it to his chest, where his own golden core is whirling away inside him.
"Take mine instead."
Wei Wuxian laughs as if he wants to die.
"It's very flattering that you think I would survive doing that again, Lanzhan,"
he says. Luanji can't help the pained sound he makes.
"Wei Ying,"
he gasps. "Lanzhan," Wei Wuxian parrots at him. "It's sweet that you're offering. I appreciate it. I really do. But it would kill me." Luanji leans down to press their foreheads together, tries not to cry.
"I..."
he starts. But he can't say it. He swallows and tries again.
"Wei Ying, for you, I..."
"Don't say it," Wei Wuxian begs him. "Lanzhan, don't say it."
"You can't say that to me. You have to say that to some pretty sister when this is all over."
Luanji glares at him, through his gathering tears. What the hell is wrong with him? There won't be any pretty sister. There won't ever be anyone other than Wei Ying.
"If you say it, I'll..."
Wei Wuxian starts, but he doesn't finish whatever threat he was planning on making, just stares desperately up at Luanji. Luanji wants to tell him,
"You'll what? I can take whatever you want to do to me."
But at that moment, Wen Yuan barrels into the cave, shouting something cheerful and mostly incoherent about xiangguge and breakfast and radishes. He is followed closely by Wen Qing, who chases after him and scoops him up before he can touch any of Wei Wuxian's experiments. "Apologies, Wei Wuxian, but you..." She starts. Then she actually looks at the two of them, tangled up in each other. Luanji almost on top of Wei Wuxian, and she stops short, her eyebrows raised. She turns, just slightly, so that Wen Yuan is facing the other direction over her shoulder. "Hong Guanchun, I thought you must have left by now," she says. Luanji releases his grip on Wei Wuxian's hand and pushes himself to sitting. Wei Wuxian follows, drapes himself over Luanji's back. "Morning, Wen Qing, Ai Yuan," he says, as if he and Luanji haven't been making out and talking around a problem of his inevitable doom for the last hour. "Uh-huh," Wen Qing says to Wei Wuxian. "If you hurt him, I'll kill you," she says to Luanji.
"If I hurt him, you won't need to,"
Luanji tells her. Wei Wuxian squeezes his wrist.
"No one's killing anyone, good heavens," he declares. "Go away, Wen Qing, we're indecent."
Wen Qing snorts, but she carries Wen Yuan back out of the cave. Luanji and Wei Wuxian look at each other. Luanji loves him. He can't die. Wei Wuxian says,
"You shouldn't come back here again."
Luanji opens his mouth to protest, but Wei Wuxian interrupts him.
"I mean it. You can't come back here. Actually, I'll kick your ass if you do. You go back to Gusu and you forget about me. Maybe in 5 years or 10 years, if we survive that long and it's safe again, and you haven't, then we can try. But I won't have you painting a target on your back for me."
Luanji stares at him. His heart cracks open like a geode. He and Wei Wuxian both know that there is no future in which Wei Wuxian is not a threat. There will never be a point, not in 5 years and not in 10 years, at which it will be safe to love him. Luanji nods slowly anyway. Wei Wuxian turns on the bed to kiss his cheek, his eyelids, his mouth, whispers,
"Thank you, Luanzhang. Now you get out of here."
So Luanji clothes himself and goes. He imagines his heart hardening with each layer of silk he wraps around himself. By the time he ties his last belt, he tells himself, his heart will be stone again. He leaves Yilin with his forehead ribbon covered with cinnabar sigils, written in Wei Wuxian's messy scrawl. He doesn't look back. His heart is a persimmon, rotting on the ground. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this Podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback for my narration on the original post of this Podfic. Thank you.